email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or you can text 51551. We got an email into our email address from Maria overnight, and she's on the line. How are you doing, Maria?
Hi, Ray. How are you keeping?
Good to talk to you again.
Yep.
Will I read out your email and then we'll have a chat?
Absolutely, go for it.
Okay. Hi Ray and team, I hope you're all keeping well and safe. We are, Maria, thanks for asking. I know it's a bit early for the C word, but sure, look it. I'm wondering if my family has the longest standing decorated tree in Ireland. So here's the story. In 1995, we put up our Christmas tree on December 8th. I was 16 at the time, and it was my job to put the tree up. I was only thrilled. I really love Christmas and especially the tree. It was decorated with the crib, two sets of lights, tinsley decorations and a tinsel star. The tree was bought by my mum before she met my dad and while she was a nun living in London in the late 60s. It is plastic and tinsel personified, and she even made the crib. As a side note, you remember me from a few years back where you spoke to me on your show. I was part of a documentary called The John Pauls about children named after the Pope. I was in the process of being adopted from the Bessborough Mother and Baby Home at the time of the Pope's arrival to Ireland. So that's just an aside. Back to the tree. That Christmas in 1995, on the 27th of December, my mum passed away very suddenly. My mum's family, who were very Catholic, lived nearby, and when they arrived, myself and my brother were told to move the tree out of its place. So, fully dressed, the tree was moved to a spare bedroom, and it has never been disassembled since. In the years shortly after my mum's death, I hated this little tree, and I begged my dad for us to get a new one. Thankfully, he was having none of it, and the little tree has remained a staple of our new Christmas tradition since. Every year, we have the annual descension of the tree down the stairs. We've lost a few baubles along the way, but the two sets of lights have remained intact. We've lost a few of the crib members. Those three wise men absconded a few years back, and I think Joseph hasn't been seen in a few years. It's a doughty little tree, and I think it's only 3 foot tall and sits in an old oil barrel, which has been wrapped a few times in wrapping paper, but really the tree is untouched since 1995. So, I'm really wondering, Ray, does my family have the record for the longest standing up and decorated tree in all the land? Thanks, Maria, right?
That's what I need to know, Ray. That's what I need to know.
It's a very important question, Maria. It's a very important question. There is so much going on in that email. There's just so much going on, and all through the prism of this little Christmas tree. It sounds like a drama. You know, it sounds like you could write a book on this. So where do we start? Your mother. We'll start with your mother. You say ma'am.
Yeah.
Sorry if I said mum there. Ma'am is what it is in the email.
Yeah, she's a ma'am. Yeah.
So your ma'am died in 1995. She was a nun.
She was a nun before she met my dad.
Right.
And when my dad told us about the tree, when I asked him about it years later, he said the tree came with ma'am. So she had this tree before she met dad.
Ah, right.
Now, she met dad in the early 70s. And by the time she met my dad, she was not a nun anymore.
Okay.
And had moved from London back to Ireland. So we're presuming, like we're just kind of jotting things together, that this tree came with her
right.
from London.
Right.
So she had this tree in London.
So
yeah.
it's over 50 years old, the tree. But really, that's not the record we're looking for here. We're looking for the longest
yeah.
standing up and decorated tree in all the land. Or you can also exactly. say it as the longest standing decorated tree, whichever word you like.
Whichever, like, yes. that kicks up without
yeah,
spinning
exactly.
me itself.
Yeah.
Watch, whichever way.
yeah. So you were adopted?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And was your brother adopted too, or does that?
He was. I'm actually convinced, Ray, they got him, and then they got me free 2 years later. Do you know what I mean? Like, he is a model citizen. I'm a little bit of a rip. There's a bit of go in me.
Right.
He's perfection. Like, he's brilliant.
And remind us how you were involved in that documentary, because I've noticed that your name isn't John Paul.
It's not.
No.
And
there
I'm not a boy either. I'm
yes.
a man.
Yes.
No. So when I was born, I was given the name Caroline Mary Walsh. And then when I was adopted, I was given the name Carol Maria.
Ah,
so that's K-A-R-O-L.
Yes, yes.
And the Pope at the time was Carol Bocchia.
That's it.
And
that's the connection.
Where I came.
That's the connection.
That's me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Christmas 1995, as most families do, the Christmas decorations and tree were put up on the 8th of December in your house. And all was well until the 27th.
Mm.
So your mum's death was very sudden.
in the end, it was. She was quite unwell for a few years up to it, but we weren't expecting it at all. We woke up that morning. I remember my dad saying to me, "Does your mom look unwell?" And I was kind of like, "I'm not too sure." And this was like, you know, 9:30, 10:00. And by 10:30, he'd rang the doctor. The doctor was out. And she actually passed away at 12 noon on the dot in my dad's arms with the doctor beside them.
Ah, that was nice, wasn't it, for her?
Yeah, but very quick. Yeah.
So you were 16, facing into your leaving cert. So I suppose the whole Christmas thing then was just abandoned.
Yes. Yeah. Doing even that New Year's, that was a blur.
Yeah.
Even Christmases after it, right? Like, they've just kind of come into one. If you get me?
Yeah. They're tainted. They're tainted, of course.
They're tainted, and they're kind of a bit mushed in together. I think for the first 5 or 6 years after it, it was definitely like you'd nearly be thinking more about mum's anniversary than getting ready for Christmas.
Yes, yeah. And this little doughty tree, of course, it had connections then to a horrible time in your life.
And I suppose like that, I remember family coming over, and I'm not too sure if it's a Catholic tradition or not, but we had to remove all the decorations for the week. So this little tree got carted upstairs into a back bedroom, fully dressed, and it's never been undressed since.
Right, since. And what was your dad died 5 years ago or so. What was his logic about keeping it? What was he saying to you when you wanted to get rid of it because you had an association with grief?
You know what? He was the softest, kindest man, but he was hell-bent on keeping this tree. And he just, I suppose maybe I was just a bit of a rip after being a late teenager and hormones flying, and I was just probably angsty and edgy.
Yeah.
And he was having none of it. He was like, "No, the tree is staying. Do what you want, but you're not touching the tree."
Yeah.
So he was holding fast. Yeah.
And it was a strong connection with your mother, of course, for him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he wasn't giving in to me. He was having none of it.
Okay. So I'm interested to know about the first Christmas after your mum died and the little doughty Christmas tree up in the spare room. Was it brought down for that Christmas? Can you remember?
I think it was. Yeah. I can't say for definite.
No, because that would have been a blur in particular.
Do you know what? I don't know if it was actually, because I think the first Christmas after a death, it doesn't.
Right.
But I'm not too sure.
Okay.
Not too sure. I don't remember where. Whereas before the age of December, I think we even had school off at that stage. That would have been, whereas I've no memory of that first Christmas after mum died.
So when did the dissension tradition begin? I love that word, the dissension.
Well, if God can have an ascension, we can have a dissension. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Level it all out. I think it happened mostly when I started moving out. So, you know, I got a job. I was working in holiday centres in my early 20s. And then when I started training in my job, I was living in Ennis, so away from the family home. Our family home was on the Limerick Care border.
Right.
And I think when I was coming home for Christmas, then it became really important. Like, it had come down every year, but now it was becoming like, so this is probably like 8 or 10 years later.
Right.
Even 10, yeah. So that's when it kind of became an occasion. Did you dust off the tree? Like, who is going to survive the dissension? And it's not like you have a three-story house. It's two stories. It's like down whatever amount of steps. So it's probably around then.
But it's a bit of a logistical nightmare all the same, because, you know, you don't decorate Christmas trees to move them. They're supposed to be stationary, aren't they? Yeah. During the year, you know, from January to December, was that spare room used at all?
No, not really.
Not really. So
Not really.
Yeah, but it was the home to the little tree.
Quite a few guests, but you just work around the Christmas tree, lads. Just wriggle around. Like, it's a teeny tiny tree. It does not take up much space. Yeah. But yes, it's a feature in our spare room.
Right. I stayed over in Maria's house. You wouldn't believe it. They have a Christmas tree up.
Oh, no, really? That's kind of funny, because people say during college, like, people would be coming back to my house. You know, you'd be a bit wibbly after a few fizzy waters after a college night out. And they'd be convinced, "Oh, Maria, I'm not drunk. I'm ready to go to, you know, we'd be ready for the next day of college." And next thing, they go to the bathroom and they'd be like, "Oh, no, I'm still drunk. All of the Christmas tree. Still busy. And of course, then I'm like, "Well, will I say this? Will I say something?"
I'm looking at it. I suppose the lights are the big, because they're quite impressive. The lights, you don't see lights like that much anymore. Yeah, they're those little lantern lights.
Yeah,
and they'd be the old school bulbs as well. If one of them goes, the whole lot go, don't they? Yeah, well, you have to replace the bulb to get the whole thing working.
Yes,
and you've manoeuvred that through that over the years.
The brother is brilliant.
Is he?
The brother is, he brings it down. He has no problems with it. And if there's a few casualties of balls, we just put it back on. But it's not like anything gets removed from it.
Right.
That's how it was. The picture you have is that's how it was in 1995, bar a few.
Right, and that's how it is now in 2020.
That's how it is now in the spirit room.
On its 25th anniversary.
On its 25th, leading into its 25th ascension, yeah.
Right, okay. I think you have it. That's what I would say.
I just
who else does that sort of thing, you know?
I'm not sure, but that's why I need to know.
You're in a unique set of circumstances. And then the fact that you had the spare room for it and that it wasn't been used, all of those things, your mother died immediately after Christmas. The family asked that you move it out and you put it upstairs. And then your dad, for whatever reason, probably an emotional attachment to the tree, said to you when you were grieving and probably angry at the world, no, we're keeping the tree.
Yeah.
So that's why we're here today, chatting about the tree and looking to see if you hold the record for the longest standing decorated tree in Ireland. Okay, let's see. There's a couple of texts in. Ashling says, my dad Derek always unplugged the tree and put it into the wardrobe to be taken out and proudly plugged in on the 8th of December, 20 years plus. And this is the first year there's no tree in York Street, as dad's now sadly in a nursing home with dementia. Maybe it's time to start a new fully dressed tree tradition. So Derek there used to just put it in the wardrobe.
I like it, Derek. Yes. I like where you're going. But yeah, that is nifty.
20 years. 15 years, I have a 2-foot tree completely decorated in my spare room. Anytime I need a little cheering up, I unwrap the cling wrap from the tree. See, this is a window into people's world here, Maria.
I love this.
Anytime I need a bit of cheering up, I unwrap the cling wrap from the tree, bring it into the living room, and light her up. Magic. This is that person. I usually, when we put out a call like this, if there's any contenders, they'd be in.
Competition, yeah.
Yeah, they'd be in like Sin. They'd be in straight away. And it isn't happening. So I think it's a record you can probably claim, but you never know. You never know. There are people ringing people going, you better ring the man on the radio there. There's a woman claiming she has the longest standing.
I'll take them on, Ray.
Yeah, it's a beautiful tradition, isn't it? The descension of the tree and almost in a real way, it's keeping your mother's memory alive, isn't it?
Absolutely, and even the crib, she made that. Like that is made from a little box where she hand painted little splotches of white, grey, and black, and she picked out the crib and the pieces. They're wired through a little faux cardboard ledge. Like she invested in this. I can't imagine, like if it came from London, she brought it home with her. How lovely is that?
Yeah.
And actually the tradition still, even a few years ago, my brother asked me what I want for Christmas and I said I'd love a Christmas tree. So he got me a Christmas tree for Christmas a few years ago. For my house.
So that's a different house. So there was no jealousy with the little doughty tree.
No,
wasn't jealous.
No.
And did you talk to your mum much about her time as a nun?
Never.
There's a pub in Waterford called The Grattan. He leaves the Christmas tree up all year round, decorates it for St. Patrick's Day, for Easter, summer and Halloween. But how long, you see? How long is the question? And I know there would be particularly, pubs and that, and they might it might be too much bother if they have one on the roof or something like that to just turn off the lights and leave it up. No, but there used to be a Santa down there on the road, the old road between Kilcullen and Castledermot. There used to be a Santa, and they just left it up every year. And the odd time somebody must have hit the wrong switch, and then the middle of July you'd be passing by and Santa be waving at you, you know. So, right, okay, the call's out there, Maria.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to honour your record if it turns out to be a record, but we'll see.
I'd appreciate a parade. Is that possible?
We'll see what we can do. Okay, Maria, good at talking to you. Bye now. Mind yourself.
Bye.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.